Hello, I'm Leslie Garfield-Tenzer, and this is Law to Fact. Today I'm speaking with Professor Ellie Margolis about common pitfalls students face in legal analysis and writing. Professor Ellie Margolis is a preeminent legal research and writing teacher. In our discussion today, she shares the pitfalls of legal writing, and there are pitfalls. But legal writing is so important. I remember when I first got my law school schedule, I thought that my one credit legal writing class wasn't going to matter much. I was so wrong. As you hear in our discussion, legal writing or legal analysis or however your school terms it is probably the most important class you will take while in law school. If you're listening to Law to Fact, chances are at some point you'll be taking the bar exam. Well, getting ready for the bar exam means you'll need to choose the study program that's right for you. Kaplan Bar Review will get you ready to take on test day with confidence by offering $100 off live and on-demand bar review with offer code Leslie100. Visit www.kaplanbarreview.com today to sign up. And here's my discussion with Professor Margolis. One of the things that every law student, every first-year law student has to do is take legal research and writing, and there are a few common pitfalls, and you're the expert on all of this. So I'm wondering if you could kind of share those matters that one else should watch out for, particularly those starting this fall, when they enter their legal writing program.
Sure, I'm happy to. It's actually the perfect time of year because I'm thinking about what I'm going to be telling my students about these things. So legal writing is one of those classes that there's a lot of mythology around. Some students come in very scared. Some students come in thinking, oh, I already know how to write. I'm a good writer. And both attitudes aren't particularly helpful for the course because students who consider themselves good writers don't necessarily know legal writing and how it's different. It's not really about teaching grammar and basic writing skills, although that's a part of it. It's really more about communicating legal analysis. So I think one of the biggest pitfalls that students have coming into the course is not really understanding that the goal of the course is to teach students the process of writing rather than sort of how to write that one good assignment that's going to get them a good grade in the class that semester. So students who tend to do better are the ones who are able to sit back and follow along the process and understand that what they're developing is a skill that they can hopefully transfer to other settings like their first summer job.
Yeah, I mean, and not just their first summer job, but also their exams, right? I think that students tend to say, and you can tell me if you agree, like this is a one credit course or a two credit course versus my four credit Civ Pro. And so I'm not going to give it its due. I'm just going to do what I have to do to get it done, which is a point, you know, I hadn't really thought of that you point out. And that if you learn how to write well, then you're learning how to write well to be a lawyer, but that's what's tested on the doctrinal courses too, right?
Absolutely. And my students tell me all the time that the ones who really understand and get into the course and sort of buy into the process, that it really does help them with exams. And some students will point to legal writing as the class that helped them the most in some ways with law school success overall, because the basic forms of legal analysis and organization of written communication is essential for exam writing for most exams.
And I like the idea, what you said also, that we're teaching you how to write like a lawyer, which is in doctrinal classes, we're teaching you how to think like a lawyer. So really, right, it's just all one big, let's teach you how to think in a way that makes you work within our judicial system versus, you know, argue with your parent or something.
Exactly. And one thing I tell my students all the time is what my course is about, what legal writing is about, is learning what to do with the stuff that they're learning in all of their other courses. So
that makes sense.
How to actually communicate it in the different forms that lawyers need to use in law practice to get their point across to the wide variety of audiences that they may be writing to. And attention to audience is another point that I would categorize as a legal writing pitfall, that students don't really think about who the intended audience besides their professor might be of the type of document that they're writing. And while it's certainly on the professor to communicate that as well, students should think about that and be aware that, you know, if they're learning how to write a predictive memo to a partner in a law firm, they should figure out what that partner is going to be looking for and expecting, and remember that that's who they're writing for.
So let's backtrack, because some of the people listening to this may not have entered law school yet or are just starting to enter law school. Can you just kind of put the legal writing course in the context of learning in 1L, what we expect of people? I know all schools kind of vary, but like, what is the idea of this legal writing course? What's its goals and objectives, and how does it fit in with the curriculum?
Sure, that's a great point. And it's true that to some degree, there are differences in law schools and law school approaches, but the basic legal writing class, as I'm familiar with it in most law schools, is pretty similar. Students come in the fall, and the first stage of most legal writing and research, because it's usually paired with research courses, is to understand how to use legal materials in legal analysis. So understanding what a case is, understanding what a statute is, and then how to read that and identify the parts in it that help you problem solve and apply those documents or those sources to new situations. So most legal writing classes start with giving students a fact pattern and either teach them how to find sources or give them sources like mostly cases, reported case opinions from courts, and read those cases and figure out how to take from them what they need to apply to the problem, to the assignment that they've been given, and then how to write that in the form of written communication that lawyers expect.
And when you say written communication, so this is, we're talking the first semester. A lot of people think that it should be adversarial. Can you talk a little bit about predictive? Because we hear that this is going to be a predictive memo versus something adversarial.
Yeah, so most law schools organize their legal writing year so that the first semester is what we call predictive writing, and the second semester is advocacy writing. So predictive writing is problem solving. It's the kind of legal analysis a lawyer or an associate in a law firm or a student working in their first job at an internship would do when faced with a client problem and trying to figure out if there's something that the law offers to address or solve that problem. So it's not necessarily initially making an argument on behalf of the client, but looking to see if that client even has a case, and if so, how strong of a case that client might have. So predictive writing documents are used in all kinds of legal organizations, like law firms, to decide whether to take the case, how to advise the client on a course of action so that they're complying with legal requirements that are governing their business or their personal conduct. So that's the fall semester of legal writing, is all about how to figure out that. Mm-hmm. And then the spring in most schools focuses on advocacy, on using that kind of legal analysis now, instead of to predicting a potential outcome, to argue for a specific outcome, usually in front of a court, a trial court, or an appellate court, to say, this is what the outcome should be in a way that advantages the client.
So first semester, you cannot tap into your inner law and order.
No. And in fact, I would say that's another pitfall, back to sort of the pitfall ideas, is students often want to take a strong position when the law is not clear. Mm-hmm. And an appropriate conclusion to a memo assignment might be the client might have a case, but it's not a strong case. Mm-hmm. Students are often very tempted to find a way to make the strongest case for their client in a problem assignment when the client doesn't have a strong case. Mm-hmm. I actually have one of my fall assignments is designed for the students to find that the client does not have a case, because it's an important lesson that not every personal problem has a legal solution, and it's not always good advice to a client to say, we're going to take this case and pursue it and fight for you, if ultimately they're not going to have a successful legal remedy in court.
You know, it's so interesting that you say that, because I was giving a lecture and I asked the students, what questions do you want to ask a professor? And one of the students said, should we talk on an exam about a issue or a matter if it's clear the client's going to lose? And I said, if there's legally significant facts to deal with that, absolutely, because, and this goes to what you were saying, professors, when crafting problems, don't always want the client to win. You know, it would be very boring if the client, or wonderful, I'm not sure which, but anyway, yeah. So,
and one of the important lessons of the first year of law school is there's not always a clear or right answer.
Mm-hmm.
And that students come in wanting that often. And that's a challenge that I know all law professors face, is helping the students understand that situations are complex and the law doesn't always provide a very direct, clear response to every situation that arises. And so a big part of the legal writing class is learning how to communicate that uncertainty. And the first step of that is accepting that there is uncertainty.
That is just absolutely so true. You know, I tell my students, I start out all the time with this hypothetical. Now I'm going to have to change it after I say it, where I have my dog by my neighbor. I always go and I say, oh, my dog just bit my neighbor, but unfortunately I don't have a dog. I do have a neighbor. But anyway, and I say, there's no book that says dog biting neighbor, assault with a deadly instrument. Like, it's just not there. And that right. is the role of law student, which brings us back to legal writing, which is the one place in all of your classes that you get to understand the thinking that goes behind making the decision-making in a way that requires you to actually do that thinking yourself. I mean, is that an accurate statement, do you think?
Absolutely. And, you know, I sometimes say that calling the class legal writing is a bit of a misnomer, because it really is about legal thinking and legal analysis,
mm-hmm.
about how to communicate that in writing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just a matter of finding a clear answer and saying, here's the answer, right? The process of legal writing is going through the steps of identifying the sources that are relevant, which may or may not directly answer the question. They may indirectly answer the question,
mm-hmm.
and taking those sources and showing the reader what in them leads to the outcome that the writer has determined is appropriate.
Right.
And that it's the And this is true for legal writing classes, and this is what most professors look for on exams. It's the process of that thinking, the how you get from here's what the source says to here's what my prediction is, or here's what the outcome should be. It's laying out that process in writing that is the essential part of the work.
Right. And exactly. And while I know that you are the expert on this, as you're talking, I would, if I could say what my biggest pitfall, what I think is the biggest pitfall for students would be, it's discounting the importance of legal writing because it doesn't have the credit amount or maybe hours met as the other classes. And I think that it's the most important class you take for all the reasons that you've stated before. Let me ask you this. So a 1L, they're about to come to law school. They know about legal writing. Is there anything that you think that a law student can do to prepare for a legal writing class in advance of starting law school?
I think the best thing to prepare for legal writing is reading.
Okay.
I think most legal writing professors expect and hope that students will come into law school with basic grammar competency. So if a student feels that they have a deficit in something like that, doing a little bit of extra work on understanding the rules of grammar and clarity in writing might be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But most students don't have that problem.
Right.
So really just starting to read legal material to get a sense of the language and the pace and the flow of it. I advise my students all through the year as they're reading cases for their other classes to pay attention to the writing. Mm-hmm. Right? If something is difficult for them to understand, it might be because it's a complex concept, but it might also be because it's not clearly written.
Right.
Certainly not everything judges have written that students are reading in casebooks is well written.
Right.
So, notice when something is easy to understand. What is it about how it is structured or how it is explained that makes it easy to follow? So that process can start before law school. Mm-hmm. Although really, I don't think students need to do a lot to prepare other than come in with the mindset that they're open to the process, open to learning from the professor, and willing to recognize that this kind of writing is likely to be different than anything they've done before and not be resistant to that.
And what makes it different? Is it the word choice? Is it the density? And what makes legal writing different than the kind of writing they did, say, in undergraduate school?
For most students, the biggest difference is the structure, the organization of the analysis. Most legal analysis, and there are lots of different acronyms for it, IRAC, CREAC, mm-hmm. Various other permutations of that that different casebooks use, that are really all about the structure of legal analysis, about starting by telling the reader where you're going, mm-hmm. right? That identifying the issue or stating a conclusion, then laying out the relevant law that provides the backdrop for the prediction that you're making, applying that law to the new situation, and tying it all together again. That sort of basic form of organization, which comes naturally to lawyers after a while, because if you read a lot of cases, you see that replicated over and over again. But when you're new to it, is very foreign to a lot of students, and they really rebel against that idea that you don't sort of lead the reader to the conclusion, but you say where you're going first and then show every step along the way of how you're getting there. Mm-hmm. Right? Again, it's not about just giving the right answer. It's about laying out the thought process that leads you there.
Right. That, yeah. Tell them what you're going to tell them, say it, and then tell them what you told them.
Exactly.
That's a common thing. What about word choice? Is word choice or grammar different in legal writing? I mean, I know that, again, if we think about pop culture and movies, we think about, henceforth, where art thou? And,
Right. So certainly there are a lot of terms of art that only exist in the law that students have to learn and learn how to use. But there are certainly wide, I would say, misconception that you need to use overly complex words and Latin phrases in legal writing. And the vast majority of legal writing professors and lawyers that I know do not think that kind of writing is necessary. And in fact, throwing in a lot of legalese and henceforths and heretofores makes writing more complex and less readable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't need a big vocabulary. You need to understand the meaning of the words that you're using. And the biggest, most important value of legal writing is being clear and direct, right? When I talk about audience, legal readers aren't interested in, or usually, reading legal documents just for pleasure. Right. No one's curling up next to the fireplace in a big comfy chair to read a judicial opinion.
Some people
might, but right. For the most part, right? Well, out in practice, if a lawyer is reading something that you've written, it's because they need to get something very specific out of it. They're looking for an answer. They're looking for a strategy. And so the more clear and direct the writer can be in identifying what they're writing about, what the answer is, and what the background is that someone who's being skeptical or critical, and not just ready to accept that answer, how that background supports the outcome that the writer has identified.
That's a great, that too is, they're all great points. I'm becoming redundant, which is something we don't want to do in legal writing, but I think, you're right. You don't need to have a command of a wide vocabulary, but you need to have a command of the vocabulary that you're familiar with. And grammar counts too. Like, you know, students these days are not necessarily taught to dissect sentences like I think we were. And grammar matters, you know, grammar really matters. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, one of the things, sort of one of the classic bad lawyer writing traits is using passive voice.
Right.
The grammar point, mm-hmm. because that when you write with passive voice for, you know, using the to be form of verbs, you know, one of the classic examples is the victim was shot, right? That's passive voice, as opposed to the man shot the child.
Right.
So that first sentence, very general and unspecific. You don't mm-hmm. know the victim was shot. You don't know who the victim is. You don't know who did it. You don't know and the relationship, right? Whereas if you say the man shot the child, mm-hmm. that creates a much more vivid, instant, clearly understood sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of direct verb forms and specific words rather than general words is a really important part of good legal writing.
And that's something,
I was going to say that one of the other biggest pitfalls that I think students have is not understanding that a lot of that good writing happens in revision, that this is not the kind of writing that, you know, many people, myself included, in college may have gotten away with sort of writing the paper at the last minute, just, you know, banging it out and turning it in. Legal writing requires revision to go over the structure, to go over that kind of word choice issue. Once you've figured out what you say, then you need to figure out how to say it well.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of students, tying into your point about how much time to devote to the course, think they can just, you know, the night before the assignment is due, throw something together and turn it in and it'll be good enough. And it rarely is. And even if it is, that's not really giving them the skills to take their work out into practice when they're going to face more complex situations and be unsupervised in their writing.
It's so interesting that you say that because, and I never really put two and two together, but when I write an article, I think of it as throwing a slab of clay down on the ground, molding, if I'm making a, you know, a bust, a head, you know, a head, and molding it into kind of that oval shape. And then going back and figuring out how the eyes look good. And then going back and figuring out, you know, are there crow's feet in the eyes? And, you know, so you're right. That it's analogous to like creating art, that you do the broad strokes first and then you go back in and you touch it up with the fine lines. And to your point, which is an outstanding one, is you cannot do that if you leave it to the last minute.
Yeah.
So
I think that's the biggest lesson my students learn, the ones who do leave it to the last minute, is mm-hmm. they can't do that. And usually by the spring semester, they're going along. But so one of my biggest tips to incoming students would be follow the plan that the professor sets out.
Okay. Right? Makes sense.
Most legal writing classes are designed and a lot of thought went into what is due when. And the more you put your all into early assignments that may be smaller, may be ungraded, or may, you know, be it for a small percentage of a grade, so there's not, student doesn't necessarily think there's incentive to put time into it.
Mm-hmm.
If you do that at the time and follow the plan, by the end of the semester, you'll be in good shape for what's likely a more complex final product.
Perfect. What are the pitfalls? Any other pitfalls? I mean, we've covered so many. I'm just wondering, are there any other ones that you have?
One of the other ones that I had thought of is how students use cases, or any sources, but primarily students in the first year are using case law, mm-hmm. judicial opinions to analyze situations. And one of the biggest falls I see is students doing what I call book report style writing. So they are taking a case and describing what it says. And then they take another case and describe what that case says. And then at the end of that, they give their conclusion or prediction about what that means for the client situation, right? Instead, what students should do is think about not describing cases, but using cases, right? The point of legal analysis is not just to say what a case says, it's to identify what a court said that means something useful for understanding the law at a more abstract level. Right. So not just what the court said, but understanding why the court said it, identifying that and using that reasoning to predict new situations. So in all classes, including legal writing, most assignments involve synthesizing multiple materials, right? It's not just describing one class and a case and applying it, but say, take these three cases and what do they collectively mean for the law? Right. Or for the rule that the writer is illustrating. So instead of going case by case, figure out what the rule is, figure out the big picture, and identify the components of a rule rather than the case.
I love that. Very abstract.
So one thing, just to give a more specific example, say a student is analyzing a negligence claim where there are four elements, right? And they have three cases. Instead of taking case one and going through each element, case two going through four elements, case three going through four elements, they should take the first element and say what case one, two, and three contribute to understanding what that first element is about. And then take the second element and do that. So, so that is a big common pitfall that first year students have, is just sort of going case by case and describing rather than putting the cases together and using them to illustrate a larger point.
You know, it's funny when students, when we say things that are profound, I tell students they should needlepoint a pillow and put it on their bed. And I think that don't describe cases, use cases is worthy of needlepoint. That is brilliant. I've never thought of it that way. And I, for 20 plus years, I've been trying to tell students how to not make it like a book report. That's really, really, I'm going to take that and steal it from you. That's wonderful.
The analogy that I use that my students seem to love is making guacamole.
Okay.
All right. I tell them that legal analysis is like making guacamole. If I ask for guacamole, I don't want you to hand me three avocados.
Right.
Right. Describing the cases is like, here are the avocados. Now you do the work of putting them all together and making the guacamole, right? The writer should be making the guacamole.
Right. Right. And serving it. Correct.
And serving it. Right.
I love that. That's fabulous. I love that. Any other pitfalls?
Following samples. One of the hard things about teaching legal writing is there's always a little bit of a chicken and egg problem, because until students have engaged with material and try writing something, they don't have a lot of context for understanding what they're doing. Mm-hmm. But they need to see examples first or they won't be able to do it at all.
Right.
But when you provide a student with an example and they don't have the context or experience for understanding what exactly that example is doing, they will often try to just plug their situation into the sample.
Yeah, I don't mean to interrupt, and I was going to challenge you on that, because I find when I provide samples, and I've actually stopped providing sample answers to some of my exams, is that students plug in their own words into the sample. So how do you get around that?
I get around it a couple of different ways. I provide a variety of samples that are very different on that, addressing the same issue, but in very different ways.
Right.
So that they see that there's more than one way to do it. I talk about it in class to tell them not to follow the samples. And I have them work with samples. I do workshops in classes where we go over, say I might have a good and bad sample of the same writing issue, and we talk in class about why and what works and what doesn't. So then hopefully, and still there are students who will still just copy the sample, and it rarely goes well because the assignment isn't exactly the same as the issue in the sample. But I just find it's very difficult to not to provide any samples at all. I think students in a legal writing class especially need to have some idea of what their expected to do looks like.
Right.
But really sort of keeping in mind that it is just a sample. It's not, you know, there is, again, no one right answer or no one right way to do something.
And that's the key. That's the key for all of law school. It's not undergrad school. There's not a right answer. There's many paths to reach the same conclusion. And especially like in your legal writing memo, presumably if this were real life, there would be two sides to one issue. And each side's going to come up with their different take on that one issue.
Exactly.
So, well, these have been wonderful and amazing. And I really appreciate all of this. I'm so happy that you agreed to speak with me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I can talk about legal writing all day.
I know. And share with us your Twitter because you're great on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle?
My Twitter is just @LAMargolis, my name.
Cool.
No
all right, great.
Symbols or...
Okay, got it. Great. Yeah, no, students are encouraged to follow you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'd love to share writing advice.
So that's my discussion with Professor Ellie Margolis on legal writing. There are many, many pearls of wisdom in our conversation. In my opinion, legal analysis and writing, schools call it different things, but whatever you call it, it is the most important class in law school. Learn how to write like a lawyer in legal writing, and you'll learn how to write a good exam as well. And of course, you'll do very well in practice. And another reminder, you can follow Professor Margolis on Twitter @EllieMargolis, EllieMargolis. She has great tips. Thank you again for listening. Once again, please subscribe and rate us on any platform on which you listen to us. You can always reach us on Twitter @LawToFact or email @LawToFact@gmail.com. We really appreciate the comments and the feedback. So that's our episode this week. Once again, a reminder that Kaplan Bar Review is offering you $100 off their live and on-demand bar review program. Just use Leslie100 as your code when you sign on at www.kaplanbarreview.com. And one thing you could do for us, like us, subscribe us, rate us on any platform on which you listen to us. It really makes a difference for us. And you can always reach us @LawToFact@gmail.com or tweet us @LawToFact. Thanks as always to www.bensound.com for the music, and enjoy your day.